Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. Having a healthy family contributes to a healthy life for all the members of the family. It is the mother in the family that plays a major role in often inspiring and encouraging the rest of the family to follow healthy lifestyle habits that can lead to true health and longevity. On today's program, we will talk with Donna Schuller, author of the new book, Healthy Family, Healthy Life, What Healthy Families Learn from a Healthy Mom. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, sugary drink consumption by teens boosts water consumption. A new study shows that teenagers can be persuaded to cut back on sugary soft drinks, especially with a little help from their friends. A 30-day challenge encouraging teens to reduce sugar-sweetened drink use lowered their overall consumption substantially and increased by two-thirds the percentage of high school students who shunned sugar drinks altogether. The Sobriety Challenge, piloted by Ohio State University researchers, was an effort to confront the largest source of added sugar in the U.S. diet, sugar-sweetened soft drinks, sports and energy drinks, and flavored milk and coffee. Students were tapped to establish teen advisory councils, whose members led interventions at two rural Appalachian high schools. They designed marketing campaigns, planned school assemblies, and shared a fact per day about sugar-sweetened drinks over their morning announcements. All this helped to encourage water consumption over soft drink consumption by high school students. Well, how much exercise is required to prevent yourself from being overweight? An expert panel review has suggested that 45 to 60 minutes of moderate intensity exercise is probably required to prevent people living in developed countries from becoming overweight or obese. We'll be right back after this short break.
And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, how do positive relations affect our health? Well, you know, human beings are relational creatures, and our deepest levels of well-being seem to be realized by loving and being loved. The belief that one is cared for, loved, esteemed, and valued has been recognized as one of the most, if not the most, influential determinants of well-being for people of all ages and cultures. When researchers studied the top 10% of happy people, the single most important factor that emerges is that these very happy people have good social relationships. We seek connectedness, and that connectedness helps us flourish. Studies show that our relationships and support networks can have a tremendous influence on our quality of life, health, and longevity.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
Our featured guest today is Donna Schuller. Donna is a well-known inspirational speaker, television co-host, nutrition and wellness expert, published author, and international peace advocate. She has spoken to both commercial and nonprofit groups of thousands in the United States, Asia, Europe, Russia, the Ukraine, Australia, New Zealand, Africa, the Middle East, the Philippines, Brazil, and Mexico. For several years, she was the featured Mother's Day speaker to millions of people via the Hour of Power television ministry, which was hosted by her father-in-law, Dr. Robert H. Schuller from the Crystal Cathedral. As a certified nutritionist and wellness coach, she's the sole proprietor of Laguna Beach Nutrition and Wellness, where she offers private coaching and group workshops in body, mind, and soul health. Her international following is served through her blogs, telephone, and webinar classes at her website. She is also co-founder of the Possibility Living Seminars, which she taught, exercise, and healthy eating. She also co-founded Balance for Life and Possibility Living national radio programs, The Call, a monthly telephone church service, and The Gathering in San Jose del Cabo, Mexico. She is married to Dr. Robert A. Schuller, who was previously the senior pastor of the Crystal Cathedral and Hour of Power television ministry. As a co-pastor, the two of them have traveled and spoken internationally for many years, and she has four adult children, one of which is Bobby Schuller, the new pastor of the Hour of Power television ministry, and she also has two grandchildren. And just on a personal note, I just want to mention that I have been longtime friends of both Donna and her husband, Robert. Well, Donna, thank you so much for being with us today here on Health and Longevity.
I'm really excited about it. Thank you so much, John. We've known each other for years, and it's the first time I think you've interviewed me.
Yes, it is. I've had your husband, of course, Robert A. Schuller, on the program before, and we've talked about health and his interest in health. And boy, you are a real healthy family. You both are into health and have gotten your family into it. And this beautiful book, Healthy Family, Happy Life, What Healthy Families Learn from Healthy Moms. And it's a wonderful book with a lot of great information. Tell us a little bit about your book and how you came about to write this.
Sure. Well, I've been in the wellness, let's say, business, ministry. I like to use the word ministry because everything I do is ministry. But
yes.
I started out when my little boy was, who's now 26 years old and 6'4", when he was about 2 years old and had really bad asthma, and I started my health journey there because the answers I was getting from his pediatricians were not satisfactory, and his condition just continued to go downhill. Anyway, that story you've read, it's in the introduction, but the reason I ended up writing this book like 20-some-odd years after I just had the light go on in my own head as far as my family's health went and, you know, taking charge of my health, taking charge of my family's health instead of letting somebody else dictate what I should be doing. That's when things started to change. And that's when through this whole journey, this process, I just thought, you know, I've got to write about my experiences. I had written two books before and they were family stories, little vignettes. And one was co-authored with another two women. And the first one was handing down a legacy of, you know, happiness and positive thoughts to your family. But my clients kept asking me, so, oh, you have a book. You have a health book, of course. And I'd say, yeah, no, I don't have one yet. Well, why don't you have one? So finally, with them prompting me, and I had so many questions, I finally said, I'm going to do this. And I just sat down and wrote my 11 short chapters.
Well, it's great. It's beautiful. And it's a wonderful book with a lot of great advice and practical information for really raising a family. And I noticed that you actually dedicated this book to your mom. What made you decide to do that?
Well, I did, John, because my mom was, I don't know, she was healthy, even though she wasn't brought up in a healthy family. She was brought up in the deep South eating all kinds of fried foods. And, you know, they were very poor. So I'm sure it was even very poor quality fried foods, and a lot of the things that people in the Deep South eat or traditionally have eaten. I don't like to, you know, pigeonhole somebody and say everybody eats unhealthy down there. That's not true. But, you know, for the majority of the time, they have a certain way of yummy, good-tasting food that isn't necessarily healthy. So my mom was brought up that way, and somehow when she married my dad and came to California when she was 16 years old, which was 60 years ago, she just knew. Like, I asked her, how did you get into, you know, vitamins, supplements, eating as healthy as possible, eating as food as close to the way God prepared it as possible, eating fresh fruits and vegetables instead of canned? How did you do that, Mom? And she said, didn't know. She said, I just knew. I just inherently knew that fresh food and, you know, heavy on the fresh fruits and vegetables was just the best way to go. But through many years of giving her such a hard time and so much strife, I finally decided, you know, it's time I do something really great for my mom and bring out all the great things she did raising my brother and I as a single mom and quit, you know, I don't know, we get to a point, I think we go through stages with our parents and it's like, I don't know, at least when I was younger, the blame game a little bit, like, why'd you do this and why'd you do that? And, you know, it's easy to say that until you're in the same situation. So anyway, bottom line, I wanted to give my mom credit for this incredible legacy of health that she passed on to my brother and I.
Well, that's great. And you know, as you know, I'm a professional nutritionist and counsel patients and work with people in teaching about a healthier way of life and even developing healthy food products and so forth. Mm-hmm. But in my lectures, I've always said, you know, and I'm challenging the mothers because I say, you know, the real nutritionist in America is the mother in most cases.
Absolutely.
You are the ones that design the menus and the meals and select the food and buy it, prepare it for your family. And that is so critical that, and unfortunately, we're getting away from that. Everyone's in a rush. They're buying fast foods, junk foods. But it's really the mother, in many cases, that is the nutritionist for the family and sets the pattern of eating habits and lifestyle.
That is so true. And, you know, it's interesting. It reminds me of a fun, not, it's not funny, but when I share this with you, and I didn't share this in the book, I should have. But when I was, you know, I'm a fitness buff as well. I love working out, all kinds of exercise. But I remember when my kids were little, going to one certain gym and working out with this one certain gal, and she would always check her kids into childcare before going to this fitness class. She'd always check them in with fast food, McDonald's, or, you know, whatever. There's a number of, I won't go down that list.
Right.
But she would always check them in with this fast food, and yet she would never eat it herself. Never. You wouldn't. Mm. She would have been caught dead eating a fast food hamburger or french fries or any of that. And I wondered, you know, how many moms drive their kids through these fast food, or I like to call them fake food restaurants. How many moms do that, or dads, and yet they themselves would never allow that kind of food to go in their body, and yet look what they're doing and how they're polluting these little kids and also instilling these negative bad habits in these kids, because we all know that food's addicting, very addicting.
Well, that's very true, and I don't want to be too critical, but I have said this in some of my lectures that the way many parents feed their children, it's really child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in an epidemic of obesity with kids today. In fact, I was in the room when the Surgeon General had stated that the way things are going with health and obesity with children and so forth, it is in this generation that parents will be outliving their own children.
That's horrible.
And that's a horrible thing to think. And, and we're finding now 7-year-old children with adult onset diabetes. I remember a nurse not too long ago talking to me about that the doctor told her that her 13-year-old son has his arteries all clogged up. And, well, most of the meals that she would bring him to were from McDonald's and all these fast food restaurants and so forth. So it's a real tragedy what's going on in our country, and we need to get kids. And the problem is, once kids get eating some of those foods, they're addicted to it for the rest of their lives. Isn't that true?
Yeah, it's so true. So true. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I didn't write this book particularly for raising kids, but there's a lot of that in there.
Right.
You know, and I like to say to people, too, and I know you do, John, because you do a lot more lecturing than I do. I like to say that, you know, it's never too late. I mean, if somebody's like, oh my gosh, I've been eating junk food and my unhealthy habits my whole life, like, I guess it's too late now. And, you know, it's never too late. Never. This body that God created is just miraculous in the way that we can heal. And I think you agree with me that it's just never too late to start living healthy.
Yeah, that's right. And it's amazing what happens because I work with some older people that go on a special healthy plant-based diets for a month period of time, and they lose 25 pounds in that month. They get off their diabetes medication. They get off their cholesterol medication. And, you know, there's a spiritual lesson in here. You know, God forgives us for our sins, you know, when we think of our moral sins and so forth. But also, when we get on track with his original diet plan, which would emphasize plant-based foods and healthy foods, we see forgiveness going on and healing in our own bodies.
Absolutely. That is so true. And I'm glad you brought that up because my book is about holistic health. So I'm sure you've had time to look at least at the chapters. So I start with diet, exercise, getting adequate amounts of sleep. Then I go into dietary supplements and how and why they work. But I go into wellness thoughts and how what you think makes you healthy. And then, of course, I go into how important it is to be honest with others, how to strive through hard times. And then I have a whole chapter on goal setting. And then the last three are really important chapters, the personal experience of loving God, the significance of loving others, and then I end with whammy, the imperative of loving yourself. So when I'm talking about health, just so your listeners know, I'm not just talking about diet and exercise.
Right.
You know, I'm talking about what you're referring to, John, and that is being completely healthy. And I totally believe we're spiritual beings first. But if we're out of whack emotionally or physically, it's really tough to be in, you know, in touch with a loving God.
Yes.
Very difficult for us sometimes if we're unhealthy in other ways, you know?
Well, you know, I've worked with Christian hospitals through the Seventh-day Adventist church organization. Mm-hmm. You spoke there and your husband at Castle Medical Center in Hawaii. And the philosophy of the hospital is to continue the healing ministry of Christ.
I love that.
And that's in body, mind, spirit through healthy lifestyle. But, you know, it's interesting when we read the Bible, it talks about when Christ healed mm-hmm. somebody, he would then say, go now and sin no more. In other words,
right.
It's what you did. It would be like saying, go now and change your lifestyle.
Right.
And
exactly. I love that.
So in changing your lifestyle, the lifestyle that they were doing to their bodies is what brought that disease on to begin with.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And by changing and going towards a healthy lifestyle, as you bring out in your book, miracle things can happen. And you said in your book that one of your favorite chapters is called The Contribution of Wellness Thoughts to Being Healthy. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I sure can. I am referring to the word that I learned, gosh, maybe 20 years ago when Robert and I used to do all of our wellness seminars at Rancho Capistrano. I think you remember us doing those.
Yes.
And I think we started them about 20 years ago. And I remember I heard this big word called psychoneuroimmunology.
Right.
And of course, you know, John, study of the interaction between the psychological processes and the nervous and immune systems of the human body. So just as stress, most people know that stress can make us so ill, you know, the stressful things in our life, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the list goes on and on and on, moving. But most people, or I think a lot of people, don't think the flip side of that, and that is if you think healthy thoughts all the time, and oh my gosh, you're with Patricia Bragg. I mean, she's a champion at this, right?
Right.
Then, you know, like she says, what does she say? You are what you
eat, drink, and do. You are what you eat, drink, breathe, think, say, and do.
Right. Okay. So I knew you'd get that perfect. I was just one. But that's basically what this big word is. And so my chapter of The Contribution of Wellness Thoughts to Being Healthy is probably my most important because, you know, you can apply that to your spiritual life, your emotional life, and your physical life, in that what you think and how you pray and with, you know, let's just take prayer, for example. If you're already picturing a positive outcome to your prayer,
sure.
Chances are there's a lot greater chance you're going to get your prayer answered. Not always the way you think it should be answered, but it will be answered, as opposed to sort of begrudgingly or maybe, you know, sadly, morosely coming to God and, oh, I don't really believe this God, but please help me. You know, I like to tell people, and this isn't even in my chapter, but I like to tell people when I'm teaching people how to pray, you know, pray with conviction. Pray like it's already happening. Like, dear Lord, I am convinced that you're going to give me a healthier life. Dear Lord, I'm convinced you're going to give me, you know, a better job, or I'm convinced you're going to give me a better relationship with my spouse or my loved one. And you know, again, God's not, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying God's some kind of a, you know, a slot machine, not at all. I'm just saying
right.
that if we come to him believing that he really is powerful and he really can do miracles, then there's a greater chance it's going to happen in our life, anything. And how that contributes to being physically healthy is that, you know, there's so many people at the first sign of a sore throat, oh my gosh, I better call in sick at work, and I better go pick up my prescription from my doctor. I better go right now because I'm really sick. And we know that that's a vicious cycle, too. That's not the way that you're supposed to treat a scratchy throat.
Right.
And if you think you're sick, you'll probably get more sick. So I'm actually really strict at this. I've had to kind of soften up a bit. But, you know, my mom raised me so that if I got up in the morning and said, oh, I don't want to go to school, you know, 98% of the time I was faking it. I mean, 98% of the time she was right, because I wanted to get out of a homework assignment or who knows, or a test. I wanted another few hours. And you know what? She would say, no, you're getting up and you're going to school. And so if I get up and go to school, you know, I'd feel better being at school because I'm doing my activities and I'm carrying on with my day instead of sitting home in bed feeling sorry for myself and pretending to be sick. Because more times than not, when you pretend to be sick, you call in sick at work, something's going to get you.
Right, right. Let's go over some of the practical advice you give, like eating healthy. Maybe give us one tip there and then maybe one exercise.
Sure.
Some of the main tips that you talk about.
Sure. As far as the eating healthy chapter, and again, these are short chapters. This isn't like, you know, I don't tell people to go on a diet of any kind, but one of the main things I say as far as a helpful tip is to eat natural, organic fruits and vegetables raw at every meal. Eat something raw
right.
at every meal. You can't just eat cooked food, and that would be a helpful hint. And, of course, that's as easy as cutting up and peeling carrots, cutting up and peeling, I don't know, kiwis, any sort of a, preferably a lower sugar fruit, except maybe in dessert you can have, you know, splurge and have a banana that you've baked with cinnamon and nuts on it. But
sounds good.
I think eating something raw at every meal is probably one of my main tips, and especially for little children, because they'll get used to that, and then they'll crave it and they'll love it.
Well, when you look at amongst the healthiest cultures in the world, a large percentage of the foods that they do eat are plant foods, and they are eaten raw.
Right.
So
exactly.
That's all contribute. What about exercise?
Exercise. I encourage people to find something they like. Don't do something because your husband, your wife, your best friend, your daughter, your son, your next door neighbor is doing it, and it's in the newest, latest, greatest thing. Don't join a health club and pay big fees if you're not going to go. Find something that you like to do. You know, research the various exercises, and even if it's taking hikes, hiking is so good for you. You get out there in nature and you get to, you know, smell the trees and the flowers, especially this time of the year. You get to enjoy some vitamin D sunshine, and find something you like to do, because if you start working out and do something because you feel like you have to, you won't complete it. You will not do it. You just will be wasting your money. And then what happens is you get on a vicious cycle of feeling sorry for yourself, or feeling guilty, I should say, feeling guilty, and then it's just a downward spiral. So I think, you know, the first thing is to find something you like to do, and then calendar your exercise, just as you would anything. You put it in your calendar every day, and if something comes up around that, once in a while, of course, you can, you know, be relaxed and move that around. But I find, let me just use myself as an example. I do my exercise, whatever it is, in the morning. I have an hour set aside, and most of the people that know me know, oh, Donna's busy at that hour. I mean, and sometimes I have to tweak it. Maybe I have to do it from 5 to 6 a.m., which I don't like, instead of my usual time. I usually work for a few hours and work out somewhere between 9 and 11 a.m., you know, 9 to 10 or 10 to 11. But the point is, I put it in my calendar. I don't say, oh, maybe I'll work out this week. I wonder what days, Monday through Friday. So calendar your workouts. It's very important. If something comes up, you know, that you have to cancel, that's okay. But people will respect you. Your family will respect you, and you'll feel better, and you'll be happier.
And you're a real believer of getting the whole family involved. Of course, the parents need to role model it for the kids, but make it a wellness family, right?
Exactly. And I, you know what? I like the saying that your kids, your people that you have influence over, won't always do what you say, but more times than not, they will emulate you. They will do what you do. So if you're teaching your kids bad habits, you know, and then that gets into the whole chapter on being honest, too. If your kids see you lying, or if your kids see you being inconsistent, chances are they're going to grow up and become the same way. And it's just not good. You know, they will follow what you do more times than not.
Well, now two of your kids have become wellness coaches. Is that right?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. My daughter, Christina, who's very, very pregnant, expecting a baby, the due date's next Monday, so it could be any time.
Oh, great.
She's a fitness instructor, teaches all kinds of fitness, and she has a blog and a website. She's actually helping others develop their websites in the fitness industry. And then that is her main profession. And my son is in sales for an international shipping company. However, still, he teaches CrossFit, which is sort of a pretty hardcore weight workout. But
and this is your son. What's his name?
Anthony.
Anthony,
he's my
right. 20,
he's
right.
My baby.
Right.
He's 26. So he does that as well. And it's interesting because it ties back into the way my mom brought me up. You know, I started playing tennis when I was 9 years old, and I've always worked out. And because my kids saw me exercising their whole life, I think it just became a natural, and also their dad's active as well. But Yeah, so we have a very active family.
And of course, I'm very proud of your other son, Bobby Schuler, who's the pastor of the Hour of Power television ministry worldwide. He's doing a great job in continuing the ministry. And, you know, I became a Christian through the Hour of Power ministry and through attending, at that time, it was called the Garden Grove Community Church.
That's right. I forgot all about that. You shared that with me before, John.
Yep.
So forgive me for forgetting, but thank you for reminding me.
That's
right. Pretty awesome ministry started by my father-in-law, gosh, 60 years ago now. So thank you for saying that.
That's right.
My son's doing a great job.
Carrying on the legacy. And of course, the possibility living is, as Robert talks about, possibility thinking, it all fits in with a healthy lifestyle.
It's
all mind, body, and spirit.
It does. It's important. All three, right? You can't take one out. You know, you really can't. You can't ignore one area of your life or you won't be healthy.
And it's having that good balance.
Yep,
so healthy family, happy life, what healthy families learn from healthy moms by Donna Schuler. And how does one get a copy of the book? I know you have it as an ebook and also now as a printed book.
Exactly. Well, it is available at Amazon.com. However, if someone would desire to have a paperback that is actually signed by me, then they can write me, and I don't mind sticking that in the mail. They can write, email me, and then I can email them back and tell them how much it is and all that. And my email is Donna, D-O-N-N-A, at donnaschuler.com, D-O-N-N-A-S-C-H-U-L-L-E-R. So Donna at donnaschuler.com. And then my website's the same thing, just donnaschuler.com.
Great. Okay. And we'll also put that on our website as well, that information.
Thank you. Thank you very much, John.
Well, thank you, Donna, so much for being with us today on Health and Longevity. And we wish you God's blessings as you continue to spread the word about having healthy, happy families.
And you too, John. You're doing a great job. It was great being with you. I appreciate it very much.
Good being with you. Thank you. God bless.
Yes. Bye.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for this week's program. Until next time, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.